Welcome to episode 23 of the Flow Ninja podcast. So in this episode, I speak to my friend Jonathan Mazenta, who is a transformation consultant and coach, who also specializes in thinking around organizations. And he really does help individuals and organizations evolve to their full potential. He has bags of insight and bags of wisdom, and I really enjoyed this conversation. So without further ado, here's Jonathan. So Jonathan, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here, Jody.
Yeah, so excited to be here too. So we met in Tulum last year. We had a great connection.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and you can have put your hand up and said, yeah, I would love to speak on the podcast. And I thought, yeah, that's totally a fit for me. So I didn't even need you to really tell me what you're going to talk about. But because we had such deep and interesting conversations last year.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And so I'm just excited to speak with you today and just, yeah, dive into, you know, what it is that you wish to deeply travel into and share.
Great. Yeah. Well, I'm just to introduce you to your audience. My background. My background's in transformation. I wasn't sure where you wanted to start, but I'm deeply passionate about transformation. I've been living it my whole life. Actually, my parents were social workers, so I kind of grew up in an environment where psychology was like my original kind of mental model. And I kind of gravitated. I worked a little bit in the mental health area, and then I gravitated to organizational behavior. So I was working with organizations and the process of change on a big level. And then I always felt like I wanted to be like an entrepreneur, but I really got stuck. I got to a point where I was really couldn't get out of my own way. And I really went deeper into my own self, where I started getting into meditation. I started studying with a Westerner who was bringing the highest level practices of Vajrayana Buddhism, Dzogchen and Ma Mudra from, he was studying with some, like the Dalai Lama had asked my teacher, Dan Brown, to bring those teachings to the West. So I was fortunate that his office was 10 minutes from my house. So I started studying Tibetan Buddhism, and that really changed my whole life. I started seeing the world more in a spiritual sense and more into kind of idealism and this idea of like holographic universe that were kind of light, and seeing even deeper. The Tibetans really understood the mind much deeper than I think Western psychologists, and it really changed my life. And I started having transpersonal experiences really for the first time. And mind you, this happened when I was 40. When I was turning 40 is when I decided to get into meditation. And
Stop it. You're no way over 40.
John. Yeah, I'm 51, believe it or not. But the spiritual work, the spiritual work makes you young. I get that a lot. So I'll take the positive feedback. But yeah, the more you do this kind of spiritual work, the more energy I get. I probably have more energy now than I did when I was in my 30s or 20s. Spirit kind of guided me to different spiritual modalities. I started like doing a chi practice, and I got really into different plant medicines and like conscious language and another energy teacher. So I've been studying with a lot of energy masters and meditation masters. And now I'm kind of done enough training that I now have my own students where I'm doing consulting and coaching. And I'm moving to Costa Rica, where I'm hoping to, my goal is to create a spiritual community, what I'm calling a soul activation center, where I use all the different tools to create a community of people getting into their souls. So that's kind of my deepest passion. So that's a bit of an overview for you.
Aho to that. Wow. I mean, you dropped a lot of bombs.
Yeah. I'll let you take it from here.
Well, you know, in the sense of like the depths of practice and the philosophies and everything, and covered a lot of ground in a very short space of time.
So, yeah, sorry. I hope I didn't overwhelm people.
No, not at all. No, it's you know, I'm just like thinking as I go here. I'm just like, wow, okay, where can I jump in? So first of all, you mentioned masters, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is an interesting one for me because there are masters and then there are masters.
Mm. Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I've definitely met persons called masters or who call themselves masters.
Right.
Who leave a lot to be desired in certain aspects of
absolutely their
carryings on. And then you've got what we might consider true masters, the Shangri-La of like human who has transcended you know, their lower self, if you will.
Right.
So I'm just wondering, what your that landscape has been like for you.
That's a great question, actually. A really great question. So having studied with a lot of different teachers, what I've noticed is that, you know, they're all people, first off, they're all human beings. So masters doesn't mean they're perfect at everything, but what they are masters of a certain, what I would call like from integral theory, a certain line of development, there's a certain things that they do really, really, really well. And I studied with them on those. Did I see them as perfect people? No, they still have their own shadow elements. And especially for somebody who studied with a lot of different people, it's easy to see things that they're missing. And most times sometimes I would bring up some things and most of them really didn't want to hear it, which is okay because I was there to learn from them a specific thing. I'm not there to, I wasn't paying them to teach them, you know? So as a student of life, I've just kind of learned like, hey, if I'm getting something from someone, they don't have to be perfect, you know, as long as it's, you know, the transaction's working. Each person that I studied with that I was, you know, a really good teacher, maybe masters, really brought a new tool to my life that really added value. I mean, I think even there's always more to learn. I mean, I've come far in my life, but to say I know everything and perfect, forget about it. There's always more to learn. And thank God, because learning's fun. You know, I like learning and keep growing. And so I think we should let go. I mean, I let go of like seeing someone's got to be everything for everybody. I mean, I aspire to be in a community where different people have strengths and weaknesses. And I think a really advanced person knows their limitations and knows what they're good at and knows how to stay in their lanes and also knows what areas they need to spend time to develop on and which things to kind of let go and let someone else. Trying to be good at be everything for all people, to me, is not realistic. You know, it's not really plausible. Life's really complicated. There's a lot of ways to grow and evolve. And I think part of the spiritual path and knowing your own soul is what are you here to really do? What are your specialties? If I had to simplify like my specialties, I've kind of narrowed it down to like two kind of areas. One, my overall specialty is the process of transformation. And I've got one area that's individual, where I help people transcend their egoic defense mechanisms. And we can talk more about what I mean by that. And then the other area would be more organizational. Like, how do we have like teams work together well? How do we set up structures and incentives where we can get along? And I just did some plant journey recently, and it was kind of saying like, hey, stay in your lane, Jonathan. If you stick with those two specialties, that's more than enough to give, and, you know, appreciate other people's gifts. I really like working with other people. I like bringing people together. And my style of leadership is to assess like what are the people's strengths and weaknesses and where do I fit in? So I kind of look different in different groups. I could be like a facilitator sometimes. I could be doing a lot. I could be something in between. I might be quiet for a while and then say something important. I have a very adaptive style. I'm very into like assessing what is and seeing which of my tools could be useful here now.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I get that. I get that feel from you as well. You know, just having been in the same room as you a few times and
yeah.
Yeah. Also, I attended your workshop, didn't I? I mean,
oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one about the energy and at the Soulful Festival. Yeah. That was, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah. That's one of the people I studied with, Donnie Epstein's work. And what he does is he teaches people how to determine their own energetic patterns and how to align with them. So that's one of the things I'd work with my students individually, is how do we figure out what energizes them? Because at the end of the day, we are all energy and information. And so if you align with your own, if you notice what energizes you and you start aligning with it more and more, then you're just a better version of yourself. So he uses a term called coherent energy. So that's a combination of an increase of energy, but then getting coherent both with your own soul, like your own alignment, like your, if he's talking about like gene keys or Enneagram or human design, like different archetypes that we're, you know, those are these instruments, self-assessment tools that will help us figure ourselves out. And it's also just through introspection that when we align with like what's in our heart and we increase our energy, then we're just a better version of ourselves. And that's really what I'm helping to do, is I really glow when I see my clients and other people just giving their gifts. My gift is enablement. I like to help people, you know, be their best selves.
I love that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And I love what you spoke about this, what the work of Donnie Epstein, is that right?
Yeah. Donnie Epstein. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's really interesting. He came into this world only claims to see, like, just see the energy spans of information. He said he didn't even see people's faces for a while until he started getting older, and he had a weird childhood. And he's like, here, he's like really distinguished like different energy levels and different primordial intelligences. And when you really can name something, then you can have power over it. And he's kind of made up a tool, like an energy grid around us that allows us to communicate with the primordial energy of the universe and our own kind of subconscious. It's called Alchemy. It's a program. And the thing I was teaching you that day was helping people see if they were more what he calls external or internal. And an external is somebody who's more oriented, that they're here to bring something from the future. So they're really energized when they think about the thing that they're here to do. And when they touch the future and they put their perception outside of themselves, their energy goes up, and their energy drops if they go more internal and they start referencing the past. Because the past is a reference point, is like, oh, that's not the thing I'm here to bring. I'm always here to bring something more. And the internals are the opposite. They're people who are more oriented towards learning from their patterns of their past and bringing them to the future. And so it's like a different orientation to life. And what we were doing in that workshop is helping each person identify whether they were more external or internal, and then what to do about that once you identify what energizes you. And that's just one of the tools that he exposed me to.
Yeah, I remember we did that, and I think I found that I was external.
Yeah, I could see that.
which was a bit of a like, huh? Because like, I can see myself as more of an internal kind of reflective person, you know, self-reflecting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it made total sense the more it was elaborated upon what that external future personality or persona is or whatever.
I mean, you seem like having had a lot of deep conversations with me, is very advanced spiritually. So it doesn't surprise me that you're external. You're here to help bring this next tier of consciousness, which is like what I'm all about and what I resonate with as well.
You are certainly about that, and that's, yeah, I appreciate you for that, absolutely.
Thanks.
So this work you bring into what you do then, mm-hmm. So with is it with, you know, like what would be like a more of a deeper journey than that workshop, if it was like over a day, or do you do several day things, or is it more online programs that you do, or and how does that all work? I'm actually really curious.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, right now, I've got a few different offerings, and I'm in the process of moving. So I'm going to also advance that when I move. But right now, I'm more, because I'm kind of in transition, I'm finishing up in Colorado and I'm eventually moving to Costa Rica. I'm doing a lot of online kind of programs. A lot of people's signing up for me for these 10 packs. And what we do is we kind of identify like
their speech. Is that a package of 10 sessions?
Yeah, 10 sessions, a package of 10 sessions. Yeah. Yeah, I really am. I do have one kind of the offering, but I really prefer to people work with long-term clients because that's really where the real depth goes.
I'm shifting to that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not that satisfying doing it once, because you got to like teach them something new and then they got to experiment with it and then we adjust and then we add it. They're like layers of things. I mean, all the deep spiritual advancement I have is because I studied with the teachers for a long time. I mean, I did the Tibetan meditation things for like a decade. I studied with Donnie Epstein for like, you know, 3-4 years. It's like in the conscious language, I'm on my second or third year. Anything in organizational development, you know, I did, you know, 25 years of working, different taking workshops. So anything that's really worth doing takes practice. So, you know, a 10 is a commitment. Like one time, yeah, I mean, it's just, you can really see people grow. I always start off each session, like, what did you, like, kind of like spiritual brags. So we talk about like what you did these practices, what did you get out of it? What changed in your life? So what in a session we would do, there'd be a period of like kind of like assessing what's important to people. I call this like spiritual edge. So a spiritual edge would be something I would define as something that somebody's like really hot to work on, like they're ready to work. I'm ready to tackle this. And it's like high leverage. By high leverage means like if you actually tackled that, it would probably make ripples effects across your life. And then I would pick kind of different techniques. So one of the techniques that I would pick is these energy techniques, like energy patterns. There's something, the internal, external is called EpiWay. There's something called like a triad of change, which is another pattern that we can help identify. I also have techniques to identify like what is pulling them, like what's causing them grab. So what we can help them do is figure out like what's dropping their energy, and then how do we take that weakness and turn it into a strength? So we've got different practices to see their things that's taking them out of it. Because basically we all have these two kind of pattern streams. One pattern stream is coming from our heart and soul and is guiding us. And the other one's these shadow techniques or shadow projections. So shadow projections are basically what happens is everyone goes through life has moments of helplessness where their energy gets really poor and their survivor instincts kind of kick in and they kind of like, they really can't handle it. Like it's too much, the situation is to digest. And our thankfully we've got this survivor aspect that will create a new part that will like protect us from us. And it'll give us a strategy to try to avoid going into that pain again. And because we weren't able to digest it. And what I learned from the Buddhas is that really a Buddha is able to digest their experience. So the good thing is that program helps us in a moment of weakness and helps us keep going and keeps us out of this really poor energy state. The negative part is that now this program is in your consciousness and it takes up a lot of energy to manage yourself. And it's actually keeping you at a neutral place to avoid going low. But the cost of that is you're using all this energy that you could use to be a really higher energy state of yourself. And so it's like an energy pattern. And so I'll help people identify what these egoic defense mechanisms are. And there are different steps to kind of get through that. It's a really tough problem, but I've got like new techniques to kind of help people transmute that. I mean, it involves kind of feeling feelings that you weren't able to feel before to kind of really go back. It could be something from a past life or this life. To really like identify what it was, what happened. And often what happens, these defense strategies have both a positive and a negative aspect to it because they like us, they like focus our attention in a certain way that we start getting really good at something, but then there's a cost to it. And so, for example, as a child, I was like teased a lot. and for crying. I emoted easily. I was a sensitive kid. And I got at some point I was like, enough of this. I felt made me feel like a loser, like there was something wrong with me, especially like boys, you know, and there's like a whole culture of, you know, boys can't cry. And so I decided I never wanted to be that way again. But I made feelings wrong. And I was a kind of a already a heady kid. And I went even more in that direction. So I started using a defense mechanism called intellectualization, where I started to outthink my feelings. And basically I became really ADD, like, cause I was always in my head trying to defend this thing so I didn't feel these deep pains. So the good part was I got really good at thinking. The negative part, I was really didn't allow myself to feel, wasn't really good for my love life. You know, is people like always accusing me as like too in my head, not embodied. And so I kind of went on a journey to get more in touch with my feelings. And it turns out that feelings are really good for this intuition, because our intuition comes through in a feeling. So as I got more into my feeling body using energy and meditation techniques, I really started getting into more of these transpersonal experiences where I would literally have out of nowhere, a voice would be like, "Hey, Jonathan, go watch that movie, go talk to this person." And then those advice like literally changed my whole life. And so the more I learned to trust that intuition was actually better than my analytical mind of pros and cons, the percent chance, the more, yeah, just my life got better. It got more magical. There was more synchronicities. There's more love, more passion, more adventure. And so that's actually one of my passions, is to help people change their operating system from this very mental, upper mental kind of like thinking about things, possibilities, pros and cons analysis, to, hey, it's our divine birthright to know what's good for us. So I'm for people who's really interested in doing that work, I consider that part of my specialty. Cause that goes lockstep with the egoic defense mechanisms, because usually the egoic defense mechanisms put us more in our head. So they're also, egoic defense mechanisms are related to like triggers. Because if something's causing you an unusual amount of like grab, or like this, like kind of like putting you in a state of anger or worry or something, like just causing a lot of emotion, it's because it's referencing a trauma from the past that was not digested.
Undigested trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. Purification, you know, is the name of the game. I really do. Spirit's kind of seems like it's telling us that, like, hey, everything's here to serve. You know, I did an ayahuasca session where I was saying like, hey, Jonathan, feelings are God's children. You know, they're the basis of like life. And we were feeling creatures. And yeah, I mean, like the mind is good too. I don't want to demonize the mind, but the mind's really role is to actually contextualize the feelings and get different perspectives on it. And then those perspectives are also feelings. I mean, so I think sometimes like even people's really mental, like you're actually feeling, you know, I mean, like you're just, yeah, because like when we decide something like is very logical, well, guess what? That logic is a good feeling. Oh, that makes sense to me. It feels good. You know, even logic is feelings, you know, at a certain level. You know, it's like, whoa, 1 + 1 = 2. That feels right. You know, it's a different way of thinking things. And it took me a while to kind of get to that place, but I kind of have a different, it's also really important to differentiate between feelings and emotions. Because like a feeling, yeah, is just
more about that.
Yeah, feelings like a relationship between two things. That's all a feeling is. Like a feeling is like, this is my observer's relationship to this data, this topic, this person, this feeling, this sensation. Emotions are more like kind of like demonstrative. They're like a stronger like reaction. So we're always having feelings. So emotions tend to, like, if you're doing emotions right, which is you're not stopping them or you're not kind of craving them, they should just come up and naturally and then dissipate. Emotions like a reaction, it should come up and then we just have it for a few seconds, minute maybe, and then it kind of goes away. If you're having a persistent kind of emotion over and over again, it's because you're obsessing over some sort of thought. You're caught in a loop. That's what's going on with people. It's an unhealthy digestion. For some reason, someone's having a hard time digesting something and they're spending a lot of time integrating it. They're looping on something and they're staying in a certain emotional range because they're obsessively thinking about it. That's just a sign that they need help with integration. You know, it's probably reminding them something that was traumatizing in the past, and that's why they're stuck. So I definitely help the people work with that. I've got this training where it's interesting, where I'm doing this conscious language training, and they identify that when we're in these trauma states, we make up these nasty statements called decrees about life, and they kind of like are deep and are unconscious. So I also would work with clients to identify what decrees they made up, and then you can actually reprogram your mind by making a new decree. So like if I had an old story, if I'm a loser because I'm like vulnerable or crying, I would then be like, I'm a happy, I'm a winner, it's safe to feel, it's okay to emote, it's, you know, my authentic self is valued. You know, it's like you have different decrees that kind of, and we can actually reprogram our mind by saying these things. It takes repetition, and the decree itself is useful, but not enough. You've also got to like do the other parts of doing the feeling of the wound. Because if you're just saying the decree, but you're not actually avoiding like feeling things, it'll help some, but not as much. And there's also layers to healing. Like there's different, like I think in Buddhism, I forgot, they said maybe it was like 9 layers of consciousness or something. But I knew that I did all these different kinds of practices. So some were verbal, but some were energetic, you know, like doing chakra practices or Reiki or even massaging. I've done, like a massage, like where they're actually not only massaging something, but they're also like discover trauma there and then like saying things at the same time. Or they're like, I remember I had somebody's like, oh, I feel something really tight here. And they'd be like, hey, what is this? What's going on here? And I was able to identify like the trauma that it was related to. So there are layers to trauma. And so that's why it's a little bit more challenging. But it's really, I don't want to make it sound intimidating. There are different levels to it. And one of the things that a person would benefit from working for me is that I've been through this whole thing for years. I've always been into transformation, but I kind of like started my own, like, you know, I've been in reflective kind of psychology thing my whole life. But then when I turned 40, I went super nuts. So like from 40 to like now, I like made it an obsession to like really master this. I had this like determination that I was really going to, ascend to a higher place so I could live out my higher version of myself. I've tried a lot of techniques and, you know, there's a few that I do myself that I'm expert in, but I've experienced a wider range than, you know, so I can guide people. Not only would I teach, you know, the 4 or 5 things that I'm super expert in, but then I could be like, hey, go do that. I consider one of my titles is a psycho-spiritual stack master. And what I just mean by that is I'm like an Enneagram 7, which means I like to try a lot of different things. And so what I've done is you're 7 also?
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Yeah, no one always get along so well. So I like to intelligently like show how can you take meditation and energy work and like altered states and like put them together to have like a better result. And so I'll show people how to intelligently stack. I can save them, you know, years of practice. Why would you want to, you know, take 5 or 10 to learn that? And you could have like a 10 pack with me and I could just show you how to do it. And I'm really helping people kind of integrate information kind of a lot quicker. I don't know if I'm also into integral theory. I'm not sure if you're familiar, if your audience is familiar with that, but there's this guy called Ken Wilber. And what he did is he took a lot of complexity. He looked at science, spirituality, East, West, culture, systems, like a biology, psychology. And he went meta. He said, I see all this complexity and I'm going to make this simple mapping system that takes all this crazy complexity and makes it simple. Calls it aqual, which means all quadrants, all lines. And all types. Anyways, but he's got this, it's a really cool system that takes this crazy complexity and makes it simple. I'll just give one example that he's got this 2x2 kind of like you ever see like a matrix kind of thing like this, where it's just got four quadrants and it's really simple lines. He's got the vertical axis divides inside and outside, really simple. And then the horizontal axis is singular and plural. And so in this quadrant, you've got the inside singular, which is anything that's going on in our psychology, our values, our spirituality. We got inside plural is culture. So like norms, values. And then you've got singular outside, which is our behavior and our body, our biology. And you've got outside plural, which is systems. Like it could be our political system. It could be nature, plumbing, electricity, anything that's like kind of systematic. And so the quadrants, actually everything in life is kind of covered in here. And so what he would say is the quadrants tetra enact. So in other words, when something's happening in life, it's because of the influence of stuff going around in all the quadrants. And what that reminds us is of a lot of people have this tendency to do what's called reductionism, where they overuse one of the quadrants, like the quadrants, this specialty, and they only see it through that lens. And it's a reminder, hey, let's take a more holistic view. Let's look at the influence of everything. So that's just a simple piece of that. And so a lot of my clients will come into them, and I'll be able to use these tools and drill down like, okay, well, this sounds like there's something going on in your cultural field, your family or something. You've got a lineage wound, you know, or something about where you're staying is controlling it. This person's, you know, more about like physical things affecting their psychology, you know. So I'll like take a holistic kind of view and help people get to the root of things. I really look for what I call leverage points, which is a little bit of effort, a lot of results. So each session I'm like, well, what's really going to help them the most?
Sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
Sounds great. Sounds poetic.
Thanks.
Yeah. And I love revisiting this kind of meta framing of things. Like Ken Wilber's work. I dipped into one of his books 20 years ago. I was like, oh, okay, this is definitely a piece, you know, a piece of the puzzle. And yeah, I think it can be very useful to work with maps, especially with some people.
Yeah.
Like to talk about the maps anyway, with some people. Other people, it feels like don't necessarily need to talk about the map. We'll do the maps, but
yeah,
like, let's not get worried about concepts, because it's like, right? It's like, if someone's more in their body or in their feelings and in their emotions, it can be a different medicine that is necessary to present. But you know, we may be using everything, but maybe we focus the attention in certain aspects.
Absolutely.
Because it's like some people, it's just so cerebral, I don't understand. And then it's like, oh, that becomes like an issue.
I think you're bringing up a great point about adapting to clients, and also, you know, different teachers are better for different people. That's what's beautiful thing is I'm not for everybody and I don't need to be for everybody. There's a plenty of people in the world that use transformation. There's a lot of great transformational teachers, and you know, I have a strategy, just kind of be me and trust the right students will gravitate to myself. Yeah, there's more, you know, I feel like we're in an abundant world, and when you have an abundant mindset and you're not lost in scarcity, you're not like trying to grab the wrong people. Like there's natural energetic matches that kind of happen, and I've just kind of learned to relax and be my authentic self and let people assess for themselves. Yeah, that sounds like somebody who I resonate with their vibration.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
I'm pretty obsessed right now with the notion of being in fight or flight.
Great. You want me to comment on that, the fight or flight?
Maybe we can just like riff around this kind of notion, this reality, perhaps, let's say, of being in fight or flight, the overwhelmed nervous system.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. That ties back to what I was talking about before, about the reactivity. And about if somebody's in a fight or flight, one, it's trigger. It could a part of it's like it's a something's triggering about something, and then maybe they've got like a natural, like a strong reaction to the thing. So what I'm teaching people is to differentiate themselves. I have to thank my teacher, Dan Brown, and my meditation teacher, John Churchill. Those are my two meditation teachers, to help me see that I'm actually not my thoughts, feelings, reactions. I'm actually this observer. And so when I'm able to shift my identity to just being this kind of the field, the observer, and I can start taking more, have like space between the information and who I really am, this just calm observer, then it's easier to take different perspectives on it. When people's in fight and flight, what's happening to them is they're having some strong reactivity. It's most likely referencing something from the past that was painful, and they've got like a certain
moment there, Jonathan.
What was that? You froze.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, yeah, sorry. As I was saying, that there's like a people, my experience of it is when people's in reactivity, that's a fight or flight to reactivity. And it could be, I would say there's a part of it that's like, it's a reminder of a reference point, but there's also like, it might be taught, like you might be grew up in a home where in a certain situation was brought up, and that you might have learned it from your parents. I mean, it could also be from peers or from your own natural kind of archetypes to have a certain reaction to something. So there's like a social, you know, how we talked about that Ken Wilber thing, there can be like a social reference, or maybe certain biological types reactants or certain psychology. But what I'll help people do in those situations is to first to disidentify with what's happening. I am not these thoughts. I am not these feelings. I'm not these reactions. Because once you get this space, then you've got room to pause. Like, oh, this is happening. Oh, there's that pattern, that thing I always do again. Do I want to, I maybe have a little bit of space. And sometimes it only takes that little bit of space to start the change. But if you don't have that space and you're so lost in it, then it's just, the reactivity takes over. So that's, I'm grateful in my unfoldment. Once I really went down this path, I really started, the three things I did first were start eating better, exercising like every morning, and then meditating. And why those three are important is the first two increase my energy, so I have more available energy. And then to meditate is to start to this new patterning to my whole relationship to experience. Then I started changing my identity to being the observer, the space, and not the contents of it. And I was able to differentiate those things as two different things. And this is also something I would teach people to do using my different modalities, is to disidentify with the content so you can take different perspectives on it. And, you know, sometimes that takes some practicing. And the higher your energy is, the more you can do these practices. I'm going to be honest with you. I was a terrible meditator in terms of concentration. In meditation, there's a lot of different parts to it. Some people just think it's about being concentrated or calm mind. But at least in the school that I learned, these Vajrayana schools, it's way more complicated than that. So it's actually remapping your relationship to experience. And so because concentration was so difficult, because my defense mechanism was perpetual thinking. Some part of me was like petrified to feel. So I was thinking. I was taking ADD meds, attention and deficit disorder, I was thinking like Focalin, and I thought that was like a physical thing, but literally it's not, it wasn't a physical thing. The root of it was that I made up a story that it was unsafe to feel and I needed to think all the time. That was the root cause. And so I went on this journey to kind of to unpack that. But what I learned was that I could not meditate at all unless, for me, I like got up in the morning, ate a healthy breakfast, did like 30 minutes of really rigorous exercise, and then took a shower like to kind of relax me. I had the energy up with food, and then I could like start making a little bit of progress at a time. I just was very willful. I didn't like it at first, but I kind of stuck with it. What's good now is that, are you still there? I lost you.
I was just finishing up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where I was, it wasn't, you were sharing about how you were, it wasn't safe for you to feel.
Yeah. So just to finish up what I was saying. Yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't safe for me to feel. So I went through this process of remapping that. And for the meditation thing, did you get the part where I talked about like my routine in the morning?
So
basically what happened was I really got willful to meditate. So actually when I'm working with clients, they don't have to, there's lots of ways to get your energy up. And I have new techniques I learned later that were even better than my old ones. But I will help my students get their energy up, and then how can they map it both to who they are, but then the spiritual laws. There's certain things that are constant for everybody. And then there are certain things that are unique to us. And we help them identify with it. And so we're going to help. There's an assessment of like, what are your patterns you're doing now? Where did they come from? Does this align with your heart? Is this align with your shadow? Okay, let's start to listen to ourselves a little careful. Let's get some space between our thoughts and feelings and start to identify the content. And we'll be like, start to get repattern ourselves. Oh, this is going to take me to a higher energy pattern. This is more aligned with what I actually want to do here. This is me repeating a trauma lens. How long am I going to keep? When am I going to say enough of this? What we do is remap. Eventually we can make that as a friend. We can take the thing that's been driving us crazy. Once we become aware of it, as self-aware of it, and stop identifying with it as a trigger to be like, oh, instead of it, me being a trigger for me to do this negative pattern, it's a reminder to me to do these new habits that I'm teaching them that put them in a higher energetic coherent space.
I love that.
Yeah.
So very holistic and very wise.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm just working with the laws of what is and what I've learned through the years. Thanks for saying that. Yeah. And it works. And people, I wish I had me like, you know, when I was like 10 years ago, because I weaved this together by working with multiple different programs and teachers. Not one teacher taught me all this. I picked up different things from different people and I kind of weaved it together. So I'm more of an integrative. There's in the spiritual tradition and the Western spirituality, they have a difference between a left-handed practitioner and a right-handed practitioner. And a right-handed practitioner is somebody who works with a particular lineage and just follows it literally, and that's their pathway to their higher self or divine or wherever they're going. A left-handed practitioner is someone who's like co-creating with the divine, and they're kind of like here in the here and now, and they're open, like they're listening to a whole bunch of different perspectives, and they're doing like more generative, you know, it's more of like us type sevens who like to try a lot of different things. That's probably like more our path because, we don't like to just do one thing. We get bored. So I consider myself a more left-handed one, and I love all my teachers. I'll just, you know, as I mentioned, some of them, Donnie Epstein's been a huge influence on me. Dan Brown just recently passed away, meditation teacher, John Churchill. This guy, Neil Kramer, taught me about Western esoteric things. Mark Schur is the guy who's teaching me conscious language. Sifu Jones taught me like Chi. Ken Wilber, I never met him, but I read a lot of his material, had a huge influence on me, taught me like meta analysis, and a lot of people in the organizational development field too. So yeah, I really appreciate having a lot of different people. I'm not replicating any one of them. I'm my own unique person, and I'm just sharing my wisdom and paying it forward. And I'm here to help. I'm excited.
Could you tell me more about the conscious language?
Yeah, definitely. So what they discovered is that we manifest our words. And so what they really help us do is be very conscious of what we're saying and like what is that actually saying? So be positive, positive things, a positive manifestation. So don't use the word not. So like instead of telling the universe, I don't want this, like, tell me what you want. You know, like I want to be a very professional, highly effective spiritual teacher. They're saying like, I don't want to be a cook, you know, like, you know, it's like, be very like positive and also very clear. And also there's like protocols around like making agreements, like being very conscious about what are you agreeing to? Is it concrete? Is it measurable? And knowing the difference between like just offering something, where is it two way, So there's that piece of it. And there's like spiritual laws. Like one of their spiritual laws they talk about is greatest weakness, greatest strength. So, for example, if we're wounded in a certain way, then that becomes our weakness. And then we have to work on that in order to become our higher self. Then our ability to learn from like that whole path then becomes a super strength. So ironically, I was naturally a great thinker, but I'm here to help people feel because that was my greatest weakness. So I definitely really, I can work with a wide variety of people thing, but if you're like a super thinker and you want to get more into your feeling body and learn to feel and really tap into your intuition, we all have this gift of gnosis is what like I think the Christians call it, or in Tibetan Buddhism it's knowing, and conscious language they call it feel the truth. I think like this God consciousness or Christ consciousness, to me they're all saying the same thing. We all have this radical connection we have this ability to be radically present and connected to the whole universe and just know what to do that's best for everybody. And we all have that ability to do that. It's just like unlocking it. And there's certain aspects to doing it, certain ways of, there's a part of it, so you have to recognize your shadow part like we talked earlier, but then there's other pieces of that I learned from the Tibetans about a way of looking at things. It's slightly different that gets into like non-duality. You kind of got to let go of this idea that I'm an individual consciousness in a body and recognize that I'm actually this field of information and everyone's connected to it. And there are certain mm-hmm. ways of looking and pith instructions that if you're my student, I could help walk you through. But it's literally a change of an identity rather than being these egoic defense mechanisms. And these egoic defense mechanisms are based on lack. And so some part of us is always trying to prove something and defend ourselves, like, cause it's trying to defend something that we're insecure about. We move away from that. You don't get rid of it. The way you deal with it is you see it as it is. And then you start to see like, oh, I know what that is. And now I don't want to operate from that. I still see you're there. Well, it's like the process is to like be entwined with it. Now I see it as a different thing. I change my relationship to it. And eventually you, learn to like see it as a helpful trigger, and eventually it kind of dissipates over usefulness, but that's like a whole process. So if you're trying to get rid of something, that doesn't really work. You got to change your relationship to it. When you change your relationship to it, then you can start to get this true signal from our heart, our soul, like what are we here to do? What brings us our joy? And a lot of time, what brings us joy is like the things that we've learned. You know, I think there's a path of like struggling and then like learning to overcome that. And now you've got this wealth of knowledge. And now there's other people who need that path, and you can shortcut their learning because you've spent all this time obsessing over it for yourself. I guess it's like a hero's journey kind of thing. And what's cool is if you get into this like human design gene keys, I'm not sure if your audience is much familiar with these things, but they're these typology tools that are like based on like a combination of astrology and I Ching and Kabbalah, maybe some other things. I don't have it all memorized, but it's a mixture of different systems. It's really cool. And they actually identify based on we were born and our location, areas that we're going to have these shadows. I guess they call it like a shadow, a gift, and a city, like these three levels. It's like it's amazing how accurate they are. And you can start to see like because I had this certain shadow, I'm going to be motivated to grow in that area. And then I'm going to get stronger. There's a middle thing called a gift. And then at the higher levels, it's called like a city. So I really help people. So like some people, what they do is they offer how to read those charts. I know how to read those charts, but if you were my client, I would help you develop the protocols and teachings to go from shadow to gift and gift to city. That's really more my specialty. My specialty is process of change. Mm-hmm.
That sounds great. Because it is, it's like, you know, and I'm starting to use those similar systems, especially Western astrology and human design.
Nice.
In my life, of course, but also with the people I work with. And yeah, one thing is like giving information, right? Like, oh, it's a consultation. Look, you've got this going on in your house, in your 12th mm-hmm. house, or You're a manifester in human design, and your not self is blah blah blah, right? Mm-hmm. But then a whole nother level of that is, right, let's like literally work with this now, right? This,
yeah,
this is resonating with you, right? This information is resonating with you, and let's work with this right now. Let's work with the shadow stuff right now. Let's kindle and encourage your gifts. What needs to happen for you to fully embody and step into that? I think that is such medicine. I think that's just such medicine.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing, is like, if they're kind of cool charts, they're pretty overwhelming. At least I thought so when I first looked at them. Okay, I was what is this? This is like a crazy amount of information. And so I've worked for them for a couple of years now, and it's taken me a while to kind of get to the chase of how do you work with it. Like, so yeah, I would probably pick out like different parts and like, let's work with this piece, you know, what's your strategy, and let's get integrate that into your life. Or if I was working with the gene keys, let's work at the first two ones in the activation sequence and go from shadow to gift. And like, let's not focus on every single key, because you're gonna, you know, you're not gonna, I mean, it's after a while that'll go nowhere, because you know it's too much to integrate. But if you can help them, if you could help them say, let's map this to your real life. Like, let's talk about this shadow and this gift. Can let's see if we can see these patterns in your life, because then you're making it real for them, and then you're actualizing it. And like, how can you talk about like, well, what does this look like in your life? And what strategies? Now, this is where you take in the process to change stuff that I'm talking about, whether it's using conscious language or meditation, or the energy kind of work. And how do we get ourselves to identify, see when we're doing a shadow and what is a gift? And when we actually see those in our life, and then we can start to be like, oh, I'm doing this, and that's because I'm doing X, Y, and Z. And now I know if I want to get to the gift, I got these other strategies I can do. And then you're just kind of putting it into a coherent whole where they can be a more coherent energy version of themselves.
Beautiful.
So yeah. Cute. Yeah.
I wanted to just shift a little now.
Sure.
What are you reading at the moment?
What am I reading at the moment? Wow. That's a good question. Well, I'm about to do a lot of driving. So I'm about to, I have a queue of Audible books that I'm about to line up. I've just been like selling all my stuff because I'm moving. The next book, I have been reading a lot of the Gene Keys book. So that's one of the ones I've been listening to a lot, just queuing up different keys for myself. I think there's like a, if you look at the human design, you can see every week or 6 days, like one of the keys is dominant. And that's a practice of just kind of like listening to it. I've been doing a lot of typology. I had a friend stay with me for a while, and he was super into the Enneagram. And so he got me into that on a new level. So one of the books I'm going to read next is the Enneagram. I'm actually moving to Costa Rica, so I'm aspiring to learn Spanish. So I think I'm going to do like a PIMSR class. So those are some of my next ones, but it'll be interesting probably next time we talk, or whether it's in person or other podcasts, I'll probably be having doing a lot more books, but I've been in a lot of action lately and less reading, but that's I'll be returning to that. I have read a lot of books in my time.
What is your favorite film?
Oh, wow. There's a lot of films. One that the first time I saw it that I blew my mind is, I loved Memento. I don't know if people have seen that. This is what came out a while ago, but it was like so different, this idea of an unreliable narrator. I really attracted to movies that are like very creative and innovative. I don't really like the most of the formulaic kind of movies. So I thought that was just so clever to just like have a guy, the main narrative doesn't have his memory and he's got to do it. So that was one of my favorite movies. I'm more attracted to kind of art house films.
I've never seen Memento.
Oh.
I'm well aware of it. I'm well aware of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've avoided it, I think. Because it's so different. I've been like, probably is really confusing, and I don't want to be confused. I'm confused enough as it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm drawn to movies that are a little bit more challenging. So, I mean, I liked like Cloud Atlas is another favorite one, and I like that one. Wow. That had a lot going on too. That had like six parallel storylines where actors were in different ones and there were like relationships to it. It was really cool. That movie was long, but it really held my attention. So, you know, it had a lot of drama to it and there was a lot of psycho spiritual narratives and tension. It was really good music. I like that one a lot. I like movies that make me think, but also work on multi dimensions, you know, like that have good acting and directing and colorful and I like Wes Anderson's a guy. I really like his movies. You like Wes Anderson? I'm not trying to think of what he do, like Magnolia or
Wes Anderson. Is it Wes?
Yeah. Or there's a couple people, maybe that's a different I mean, Tarantino's another one of my favorites. I love all his movies. Yeah, I like artists who just kind of innovative. I'm attracted to novelty. Mm. I feel like novelty's like really spiritual because, you know, I kind of like go back. I imagine like at the beginning of time, like nothing is suddenly aware of itself and being like, like in pain, like a baby's like staring at one thing like too long and starting to cry because they want more adventure and excitement. So I always kind of associate like transformation and novelty is like spiritual because like, yeah, we want to be entertained. We want to have good experiences. And so, yeah, in my movies, I tend to be drawn to movies that are novel. Mm.
Last question for you.
Yeah.
Do you believe in angels?
Do I believe in angels? That's a great question. Yeah, I mean, how do I contextualize that? I think that we have higher selves, the versions that are ourselves are different kind of like levels, and that we're guided, you know. And so, if you're open to it, I mean, ultimately, what I learned from the Tibetans that all is mind, you know, that the mind is powerful. So it's a good thing to believe that you have guides that are helping you. I think that is a very positive mental posture to believe that life's working for you. I would definitely teach my clients the more positive you are about life, not to bypass, like, but to see, it's this mixture of optimism and realism. Like, how does things, you know, it's not just be like everything's great and I'm like whatever and just ignoring things. Like that's what was, you know, as a bypass, but really going into something deeply and like looking at it from different perspectives. Like, how did this suck? And what could I possibly good? I mean, let's say you have a negative experience, well, you know, I'd be like, well, I know I don't want to do that again. You know, like there's always something, some part of it again. I don't want to get in a pattern. There's always something to learn for something. So it was like, I felt the pain. I think people associate with pain as bad, but pain is like telling you something like, hey, I encourage people to go into their pain and be like, what is that pain telling you? Don't avoid it. I mean, there's Donnie Epstein says like there are these four primordial parts of pain. There's the pain of not being with your pain, like pushing it away. Good. Great. You push away your pain, it's going to come back twice as hard. It's like this pain is trying to teach you something, you know. There's the pain of not liking your circumstances. And then there's like the pain of it not happening fast enough. And then there's the pain of not knowing or giving your soul gifts. So I help work with my clients, like, what kind of pain are you having? Let's get into it. What's pain trying to teach you? I mean, a whole part of this evolution is changing our relationship to pain. Pain is meant to be digested, not blown off, not to be obsessed over, to go into the pain. What's it trying to tell us? What adjustments do we want to make? Could be a perceptual adjustment. You know, it could be a lot changing your life, but pain is a teacher. And I feel like that's a huge shift for all of our societies. If we can get to a place where we view pain in a different way, where we can see it instead of pushing it away. And then great, you push it away, it's going to come back in your face even more and in more and more unfriendly ways. And it's trying to tell you something.
Oh, I think that's a great place to come to a close.
Okay.
Very, very beautiful and powerful.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, I really enjoyed this. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Truths. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about what you do?
Yeah, right now I am in the process of making a website, but they can contact me via email at soulactivationcenters@gmail.com. So that's my life mission is to develop these soul activation centers. And if you go there and we can set up some time to chat more, whether you're interested in me having a podcast or if you're interested in being a client. Please get in touch with me.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, thanks, Jody. And when I get down to your neck of the woods, I'll definitely look you up. I look forward to chatting again, either online or in person. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Absolutely. I definitely feel that. All right, cool.
Okay, brother. Well, take care. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
You too. Bye. Grateful. Okay. Bye, Jody.
Bye-bye.
So thanks so much for listening. Yes, and if you'd like to know more information about me, then please go to jodydeane.co. That's JodyDeane.co. There you can find out information about my coaching services, one-on-one sessions, any online trainings and courses I'm offering, and I also have a little store which is growing with products and content. So don't be a stranger and have a look. And please feel free to contact me. You can email me as well at flowninja99@gmail.com. Please share this podcast with your friends. And if you loved it, I would love a 5-star review on the iTunes Store, Apple Podcast Store. So thank you, yes, in advance. And hope you're well. New episode coming very soon.